everybody. Welcome to another episode of I Do, I Did, I Don't. I'm Lori Wood, here always with my partner in crime and co-host Steve Fatula. We're with McCoy Fatula. And today we're here to talk about a little bit of divorce stuff, information, income.
Yeah, we're talking about a little bit of the finances stuff today.
That's a much better term for it.
There we go.
It's early.
We got off of a different seminar series we were ready to speak on this week, and they had a lot of questions about financing. So let's keep jumping on that and explain kind of how support works and how income's calculated.
I think that's great because a lot of times people have questions about how accounts are held and how to divide. So any information is always helpful.
Yeah. And I think we can do it in reverse where we talk about the accounts, because I think that's the part that shocks people the most. A lot of people go through their divorces with very little knowledge. I guess they go through their marriage with very little knowledge of their finances.
Right. One, and the impact of the way they're setting things up.
Yeah. Yeah. One party handles finance issues. The other one does other things, right?
Sure.
Whatever works for marriages during them, they work to some degree. And then you get to the divorce stage where all of a sudden you're supposed to know everything, and you kind of get freaked out and you start seeing that your name's not on all the accounts. So you start seeing that, you know, maybe you don't know how much you spend. You start seeing you don't know which credit cards. And some of this is really crappy because, you know, you can imagine if you think that you have $1,000 in debt and all of a sudden you have $30,000 in debt, that changes a lot in credit cards you didn't know. And
Which
happens a lot.
There's a form that people have to fill out that specify monthly income and expenses. And more often than not, people are shocked with both the income and expense portion.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's not amazing. It's from where I sit, a lot of the divorces come up from bad spending habits of people, where they get into their financial stresses. And then at some point that breaks the marriage and people start hiding things and lying. And
it's one of the top reasons for divorce.
It's right. It's an obvious one that people can imagine. But what happens in those cases a lot of times is you're going as a detective through these people's lives to figure out kind of where it went wrong. And some of it mattered from a legal standpoint. And I think some of it matters from, I don't know if it's an emotional standpoint or a closure issue or something, where we are encouraged to figure out why.
Right.
And our job is to really, you know, we have to work with the client because it's getting the information, absolutely, how much you want to spend for us to figure out if he's cheating or not. You know, it's each their own. If you want us to find it, we can probably track down, you know, which strip club he was going to.
And the important thing, if you look at it, is kind of what do you do with that knowledge and does it matter?
Yeah.
Except for the emotional piece, which I understand.
Yeah. And it's hard because from a dollar standpoint, legal standpoint, doesn't matter. The answer is probably no.
And the court doesn't care. The
court really doesn't care. There are exceptions to this, but I mean, Generally speaking, it's not going to be worth it. If it's so much stuff, you're going to spend so much money to track down so much money, you're probably not going to have a net positive at all. And a lot of it just kind of, it hurts to uncover things that you thought you knew this person. And you understand there's differences at the end of it, but.
And it's the trust factor.
Yeah, trust factor.
Because you trusted the other party to steer the ship or take care of things. And when you find out that trust was misplaced all along, or that they weren't trustworthy, or if it happens at the end, of course, the trust is broken down when you get to the divorce part.
Sure.
But that's a big hit.
Yeah, that's a big one. And then people don't realize a lot of the time that this idea of community, right? So that stuff that people can, I think, conceptualize the community when you're buying a house, right? Because it's a big purchase. It was done during the marriage. It's communal. Everyone is okay with understanding it like
There's
that.
A thing you get. It's tangible.
Yeah, it's tangible, and it's large enough that the concept's easy. But people don't realize that income's also communal during the marriage. So if he or she is earning a lot of money and providing you effectively some type of an allowance, which we see a lot.
Right.
Well, that's great. The reality is you also are still entitled to half the cash that's sitting there.
And not just your allowance.
And people don't realize that can be a lot of money. A lot of people come into this with multiple accounts, and they put some into the what we'll call communal pot, and they put some into their separate property pot. But the reality is there's no such thing. And if people don't realize that, we just met with a woman yesterday. She was told by her ex that's his job, his income, and she doesn't get any. And she went, oh, okay. So she signed it and gave up like 50 grand that was sitting in the bank account from their 10-year marriage.
So let's just talk about that for a minute.
Sure.
Get information before you sign.
Oh my God, yeah.
Not from the person that you're detangling with, divorcing.
Yeah.
But from somebody who is knowledgeable, an expert. She could have spent $100 to come in for an hour and see you, or
she could have went to the seminar for free.
Went to the seminar for free on Saturday, and it would have changed.
Yeah, because now in theory we have to undo everything if she comes back and hires. And it's just going to make a mess. The other parts, I think, which should kind of be obvious to people. If you separate today, don't be signing documents in a week.
No.
That doesn't make sense.
I've seen a lot of people, they're just tired. They, you know,
yeah.
When they start the divorce isn't necessarily when they've been thinking about the divorce.
Or, that's fair.
You know, one party's been thinking about it for a long time and just wants to be done. My favorite question to ask is, I know you're feeling this way right now and you're tired and you just want to be done, and I get it. But let's look at 6 months from now when the emotions have died down, when you're in, you know, you've slept, when you're not in the thick of it. Are you going to be happy with the thing you're signing today? How's that going to impact you later? And it's made a lot of people think, you know, sometimes just being tired and wanting to be done is not going to do you any favors. Going a little bit longer and staying in it just a little bit more and making careful, informed choices will impact your future in a much better way.
I mean, the court's kind of requiring you to do it that way, right? They require these notices. They require this disclosure. They are trying to drag this thing out. They have that 6-month cooling off period. They're trying to slow you down because the impact of what you're doing is lifelong.
And emotion and making decisions that way is very real in the beginning.
And
or throughout the process, it doesn't just go away because you're a year in.
That part's true. But we find the people in the very beginning just wanting to be done. And it's the worst possible answer.
100%.
And we have seen people, I mean, think about people that are married 20, 30 years. You gave up, let's be realistic, the best of your years.
100%.
Right? So whether it's age and health or whether it's career building, that's all gone. So if you're just trying to get rid of the scenario so the stress goes away, well, you're kind of planning for your future 30 years behind the ball there. And if people don't recognize that, guess what? You're going to be in a lot of financial strife 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years, and you'll never get it back.
No.
And it's one of those we have to figure it out from the beginning, and you have to slow it down. And people in a one-year marriage, well, that's different, right? That's
you didn't give up much.
Smaller issues. It's not, you guys are probably not going to do, you know, millions of dollars in that year. From people that have clearly nothing, and they know that, and this is not an insult, it's just there's less to fight about.
Right.
Then speeding through it, again, it's probably okay.
Every situation is different.
But if you don't know anything, find out. Slow the hell down. If they're trying to speed you up, I always think of it as once, like a sports analogy, is once you start divorcing, you guys are now on different teams. Would you ever listen to the other team's coach on how to play a game? And everyone goes, of course not. That's dumb. And you go, yeah, but that's what you're doing if you're listening to them now. And it doesn't mean you have to create everything as a fight. And it doesn't mean they couldn't be telling you some of the truths.
But double check. But double check.
Yeah.
I am of the same belief. If you guys aren't working together and you're divorcing.
Yeah.
The other person is more than likely looking out for them.
Yeah.
And you need to do the same. And the trust factor has to be broken. You can trust, but double check.
Trust, but double check. Yeah. We had the guy that came in. We had a client that came in the other day with a full agreement written up. Well, we haven't done disclosures, so we can't have a full agreement.
So, they don't know what they have, so right? They can't divide it.
And I asked the client, I was like, how did you do this? Like, you guys are, this is great that you're working together in theory, but you can't do this yet. You have to get.
And the court won't allow you to do it.
Court won't allow. It's unenforceable. It's a waste of everyone's time. She goes, I don't want to enter it. I was like, well, then why did you bring it to us? Oh, just to show you what he's telling me to do. And I'm like, all right, let's slow things down and let's get out of the mindset that you have to do what the other side says. And this is somebody that has an attorney, but it costs money to talk to us. So she's been trying to do things on her own. And unfortunately, the attorneys have to be looked at as an investment. And if it's a bad investment, you have to also know to stop and go find someone that you're comfortable with. Because that's the whole point that we're here for, is to answer questions. Maybe not talk about the weather. Maybe that's an expensive thing that's silly. But before you make decisions or have meetings with your spouse, your soon-to-be ex, we should probably chat about that.
And that's the thing. It's costly to have counsel, and not every divorce has to have attorneys. Mm-hmm. I think every divorce should run the documents by an attorney before signing it. However, it may be a little expensive now, but it could cost you so much more in the future if you don't do this. Well, because you can sign away a house. And let's talk about titling and how accounts are held. Because a lot of people think if just their name is on the house, let's say their spouse had bad credit or couldn't qualify or whatever the case may be, and they bought it together, but only one person is on the house. A lot of people at the end of the line think that the house just belongs to the person whose name is on it. Is that true or not?
The answer is maybe. Right. Because the reality is the court's looking at the communal part first and then seeing if it's fair. There's certainly times people can give away a house during a marriage and we can't undo it. But most of the times it's undone because something happened where it's unfair. Right. Somebody that was not the plan to screw the other person over. You're just trying to do that now.
Right.
The case that we met with a potential client the other day, this is the one that I had read a settlement agreement, and we're talking about things people rush through. We're going to talk about the house as one of them. They each get a house. And I was like, oh, okay, so you each got a house, but you guys were married for, they were married short term, right? So less than 10 years. Buying two houses in less than 10 years, certainly not undoable, but a question that comes to mind, right?
Like, right.
You guys are both young. How did you afford two houses, let alone one? And she's like, oh, no, I bought my house last month. And I was like, oh, after you signed everything. Yeah, after I signed everything. How'd you get that? Oh, I got a payout from something from the divorce. Okay, so you got $50,000 to put in the house. Yeah.
So they've already moved money around.
They bought a whole bunch of money moved.
Okay.
And then I was like, okay, so what about this other house? Well, that's his house. Oh, okay, when did he buy it? Before the marriage. Okay, so we start off that, yeah, before the marriage, it's his house. And you guys, it was paid off or you put payments down? How'd that work? She goes, oh, we put payments down every month. Actually, come to think of it, he paid double mortgage every month. And I looked at her, I was like, so every month, the income paid double mortgage. She goes, yeah, he paid double mortgage. I went, every month you all collectively pay double mortgage on his home. And she stared at me going, I don't understand what you're saying. I went, well, income, right, as we're talking about this, is not just his, it's communal. Now, there could be prenup, so there's always context of this, but generally speaking, it's communal. And then you take that communal money and you pay down a house, and the house is his. She goes, yeah. I'm like, so the community has a right to something back, whether it's a reimbursement claim or whether it's some type of equity interest. And it's like, and double, that's not often that happens. So double now for 8 years.
That's huge.
That's 16 years that you've paid down a house, which is incredible. And at some point, it's not interest payments like a normal person pays out. It's all principal, which means there's a high number that's coming back to you. And she just stared at me and I go, and the MSA was trash. It was written in 2024 referencing their marriage of 2000, I don't know, we'll say 15. And in the document talks about 2010. And I'm just like, were you guys married then? No. Do you guys read this document? No. Did this person, were they divorced before you? Yeah. Was it this time? Yeah, it was the guy's prior MSA. He just swapped out the people's names.
Swapped out names.
And basically kept everything the same. Because I'm looking through, I'm like, did you have more than one bank account? Yeah. Did he not have stocks? He has stocks. Did you not? Like, everything I asked was the opposite of what the document said.
It was the prior marriage.
It was just the prior marriage. And he was just forcing it through because he made a couple hundred grand and she's a school teacher, right? So she's not making much money. And it was just like, so when we got to the house part, that was the part where it was like, okay, she's like, but it's his. He's the only one on title. And this was the conversation going, you may not own the house, but you have an interest in the house. The community does. And then needs to get paid.
I want people to think about it. You may not own the house.
Yep.
But you have an interest in the house. That's a big thing.
It's a big thing.
I've had clients come in and say, well, we've always kept our finances apart. He has his bank account. Mm-hmm. I have my bank account. That's my car. That's his car. And they don't realize the interest in the other pieces.
And that interest can be valuable.
Huge.
It may not be $100,000, but could be 30.
Right.
Like the way that it was being explained could be 40. And she's worried. Deal. She was stressing out over like a $4,000 issue. I'm like, you can stress over that or the $40,000 that's still technically on the table. And it was, of course, he was the whole thing's a mess. The guy's the bully, which is unshocking because of how everything's written out and how she's forced to effectively sign things. But that's kind of where, again, if someone's pushing you to sign stuff, your instincts have to go, this is weird. I should pause and say, great, I will think about this. I appreciate it. I have to go.
Yeah.
And then go talk to anyone. Get out.
Reason to do so. I mean, we just had an incident the other day where it was reversed. The wife was the bully.
Oh, yeah.
And insisting almost to the point of a physical assault that this person signed the agreement.
That
because they wanted money.
That doesn't happen often.
No, but that was an exciting day.
That turned into an outside fight for two 60-year-old people, which wasn't that good of a fight.
No.
It was sad. Arkline's a much better person here, just kind of looked defeated in life. And you really wanted to kind of go out and hug him, but we just wanted to get that person away from him. But it's a tough one. Some of this stuff is, you know, these are not gender roles. It doesn't matter who it is. Just
no.
If the other person's pushing or pulling physically or just, you know, emotionally, financially, whatever.
Whatever the case may be.
Realize they don't have power against you anymore. Stop. Go get help. Figure it out. And if you don't have the funds to go hire an attorney, well, maybe they do. This woman didn't get an attorney. She didn't have any money. He was making 340 grand a year. Guess what? You would have got attorney fees in court, right? Like there's things that people go, I don't know, which good takes us back to the seminar. Where it's like, that's why we do it. It's free. It will help you educate to know what to do so you don't make these egregious errors where you've given up 10 years of your life for nothing there. It's just crazy stuff.
Especially later in life. And I want to circle back to those seminars that happen the second and third month of every month, second and third Saturday.
Second and third Saturday. Yep.
And you've been doing this for, I think you calculated, like 12 years straight, never missed
a week. Between 11 and 12, because like I've lost count too.
Sure.
December was a trigger. I don't remember what it was. I don't know what year it puts us into, and I don't know how to go back to figure it out. We've passed the 10 years. I think we've passed 11. I think we're in 12. We could be in 11. I don't know. But it's been long, and it's been every week.
These are amazing because it's all about divorce. Anybody's welcome to come. It's free information given by experts.
Yeah.
And then if you need one-on-one time, because again, this is general information, you're not legally advising one specific person in the seminar.
Correct.
And if they need that, you offer a free consultation, a free half an hour.
For those that come through.
And just a little bit of information is power. And it's not your divorce doesn't look like your brother's or your cousin's or your friend's, especially if it was 5 years ago they made a different living. The facts are different.
Yeah.
And again, just because your name's not on something, and we're not suggesting that you take everything, the court does their best to make it an equal division, but you are entitled to an equal division as well.
Yeah, California is pushing hard for equal. Like that, everything is laid out where the goal is it's fair and equitable. So if things aren't fair or equitable,
you got to ask yourself why.
Yeah.
And you have to understand if that's an agreement you want to make,
you're
perfectly welcome to do so. But inform yourself and understand and make sure that you know and are okay with doing that. And think about the impact long term. Do you find that it's not a long-term marriage thing, but maybe higher earners? If there's a higher earner in a family and a spouse that has stayed home, and I'm not talking about gender roles.
Sure.
Do you find more often than not that there's hidden assets or funds?
Yeah. 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 And I think that in those cases, they're quick to push for mediation.
100%.
Or they're quick.
With their mediator.
Correct. Not a real mediator.
We'll both go to my attorney.
Yes. Yeah. That is the exact scenario. My attorney said he can do it. We'll both go to him.
Nobody wants to prolong this. I know this is hard for you. Let's just get it done. Trust me.
Yep. That is, I think, if you have those scenarios, those people listening going, oh, my spouse said that.
Run like hell.
Yeah. Pause and call anybody at that moment and go, does this sound weird? And when they go, yeah, that sounds weird. Don't go.
Correct. Correct.
Now, there's no problem going and listening, but don't sign anything.
And if they're taking you by the hand, pushing you in the car, and dragging you there, maybe think that that's a red flag.
Yeah. If all of a sudden they're nicer than they've been for the last 10 years, opening the door for you and things.
Yes. That's a very good point.
Don't.
We can go to dinner after.
Right? Oh, yeah. Man. So many relationships tell me how nice the other side gets at the end. Usually the ones that I'm like, well, they're lying to you about something, so.
I will give you one that's close to home. Mm-hmm. I have a best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Had for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
They know what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Husband owned a business, multi-million-dollar business. Mm-hmm. She's a dental hygienist, so she does well.
Sure.
He sold the business during the marriage. She never knew how much. All of a sudden, he wants a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And he says to her, I know Lori's in the field and you trust her, but it's personal and I don't want to share that with our friends. Let's just go to my attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Long-term marriage, sale of a business. Inheritance that he got during marriage and children.
Mm-hmm.
5 years later, because I offered.
Mm-hmm.
And they both went to his attorney. And I said, please don't. I'll give you names.
Yeah,
doesn't have to be anywhere near me. I will never ask you a detail.
Yep.
5 years later, knock, knock, knock. Lori, can you read this now? I think I messed up. I would love to help her, but I can't.
Nope.
And nothing I can do.
At that point, it's too late.
And Lim, can you guess if he was fair?
Oh, equal, right down the middle.
So spousal support and child support
mm-hmm.
was set on a percentage. But there was never anything that told that he had to disclose at any time how much he made. No annual prove up, no semi-annual prove up. Just not good.
Yeah, just not good.
And this is somebody that's close to me. And it just happens all the time because you want to believe, you want to take the easier route. Divest is ugly. It sucks. You're tired. You're exhausted. You got all these feelings of fear about starting over again. And so sometimes just getting something off the plate feels good.
Yeah.
But you're just not doing yourself any favors.
No, that instant, we'll call it instant gratification to be done,
yeah,
is not usually worth it.
No, because you're going to spend much more stress, sleepless nights, and all the things later when you realize that maybe something different would have been better for you.
Yeah, and I think a lot of what we're saying is not saying you have to go run out and hire somebody.
Absolutely
but
not.
But you could consult with two or three people, spend a couple $100s, and if two or three people are telling you, this doesn't make sense, that's when you have to go, huh. If you're even hesitant, because I think most people know when they're getting screwed. They may not know the degree, but they know something feels wrong.
Instinctively.
Yeah. This is the time to go, if I feel like I'm getting screwed, let's pause and figure out what the heck to do about that.
And here's the thing. It's your timeline.
Yeah.
Nobody should be forcing you. You should take the time you need and are comfortable with. And like Steve said, we're not suggesting that every divorce needs counsel, that you need to spend tens of thousands of dollars on attorneys. In some cases you do.
Yep.
But get informed. This man offers a free seminar. There are many things. You can go to the courthouse to help with papers for free. You can get fee waivers if need be. If the other party is the higher income or the only income, you can ask that they pay your attorney's fees. There's a lot you can do, but just take a breath, slow down, and make sure that you're making informed decisions and not being pressured to do anything. And make sure you understand how your assets and obligations are set up and who's entitled to what.
Yeah, and I think that the last thing that we'll hit on in this, because we talked about it at the very beginning, was about like debt allocation and responsibility.
Right.
And we'll leave it open to, it's kind of a, you got to understand that there's different types of laws that are happening at any given point. Right, we're dealing with family law that's talking about fair splits and things. But you signed contracts effectively with credit card companies. You signed contracts with mortgage companies. You've signed a bunch of different things that are obligations to third parties that don't really care if you're going through a divorce.
Correct.
So if you're asking, do I owe that? The answer probably is, well, if we ignore the divorce aspect, you owe it. The answer is, yeah, well, it's a credit card. I'd owe it. Then you owe it now. Well, it's his credit card. Okay, then it's just him that owes it because he's the only one that signed that debt. But then you may owe it from a community standpoint. the mortgage tends to be the big one. If I move out of the house, does he or she have to just pay? The answer is, well, he or she has to pay if they're on the mortgage, and you have to pay if you're on the mortgage. And the courts are probably going to balance this out where the person in the house is generally responsible. But again, if they don't do it and you're on the mortgage, your credit's getting hit too.
Yeah, the creditors do not care if you have a judgment, even assigning all of the obligations to one party.
Yeah, that's another big one. Yeah, even at the end of the day, if it's like, okay, he gets the house and he gets the mortgage. Well, the banks didn't approve that and you're still on it. So make sure there's clauses like you have to refinance or the house gets sold.
And make sure there's a timeline to do so.
Yeah, that's without those things, the court, after you guys reach an agreement, really can't just change the rules or make up rules, or you're all kind of stuck. So if it's something like that, you want language in there that says within 30 days, 60 days, and there's something. It doesn't have to be tomorrow, but you need a trigger that says if they miss a payment or if they don't do it within so much time, that it gets sold.
Yeah, or that you take over. Something else happens.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't see people going in and evicting their spouse after all that, but it's...
Who knows?
There's a lot of unknown. And I think how accounts are held or what to do. The house is a huge one. People ask.
The house is a big one.
A lot of times they think if they move out, they lose their equity or interest in the house. That's a big misconception.
Yeah, it's still yours. You still own it. It's
just get informed. Changes.
Yeah. And then if you stay in the house, could they charge me? Technically, there are ways to charge the person staying in the house for using the house, right? So there's a lot of these intricacies that certainly can come into play. A lot of it's used as fear and a lot of it's used as leverage. So again, before you get too scared, talk to somebody. But I think that kind of brings us to a good stopping point today.
I think so. If you're in that position, either mid-divorce or starting out, get informed. Again, talk to the experts. You don't have to hire an attorney. There's mediation. Mm-hmm. But you really can't negotiate a fair agreement unless you have all the facts. Divorce is no different from any other contract that you're going to enter into. You need to be informed, and you need to make the best choices possible for you. And at the end of the day, I don't expect anybody going through a divorce to just know what the law is. I think that's silly to think that they do. So we're here to help.
That's it.
At any point.
And you don't have to take anything anyone says.
No.
But at least know what you don't know and then make a decision. And if it's a bad decision, that's your choice, but you get to make it.
Find out what the law is or what the court could do and then decide what's best for you on top of that.
That's it.
And don't listen to the other side.
That's definitely the answer today.
And as always, we wish you a great day. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to others. And we'll be back next week with more information on divorce and anything else we can come up with that day.
That's it. See everyone.